Amen. We are in a series entitled God's Blueprint for a Well-Managed Life. God's Blueprint for a Well-Managed Life. This series is all about applying God's word and doing things His way so we can manage our lives so things can get better. How many know whatever you manage gets better? Right? Like if you manage money properly, you got it, and you're a good steward, it'll produce more in your life, right? If you take, for all my married people, if you take your marriage and you apply God's word and really do what God's word says and manage it the right way, then your marriage gets better and it gets better and it gets better. So anything that we manage properly ends up getting better and better. Today's lesson, which I'm excited about teaching, is God's blueprint for emotional freedom. God's blueprint for emotional freedom. And this lesson is all about really me understanding how to manage my emotions, how to overcome offense, how not to get caught up in the trap of the enemy. You got it? Because he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, right? Jesus says, I've come that you might have and that you might have it. Yeah, and so I've got to learn the tricks and schemes of the enemy. The Bible says don't be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. And let me just tell you one thing the enemy tries to do, especially in this day and time and in this culture, is for us to get all emotional and all worked up about things so we'll make bad choices so we can have bad things happen. But you have to make it up in your mind that because I'm a son of God, that's not gender specific, I'm son and daughters of God, we are led by the Spirit of God. Isn't that right? We do things God's way, so therefore we get God results in our lives. And so, you know, emotions, now they're a part of life, right? But offenses are even a part of life. You know, even Jesus instructs us that offenses will happen. Offenses will happen. And like I said, I just think, you know, it's important my last point last week of both services was that I was going to walk in love and treat everybody right. If we would just do that, how many know half the battle's won? Isn't that right? Yeah. And you know, but we live in a very sensitive culture and, you know, people get upset quick. And then sometimes people get upset quick because people made you mad, right? And so how many know that even when someone does something wrong against me, I still have the power to keep myself intact? I still have the power to keep myself in check. Isn't that right? In Luke 17 and 1, Jesus says, then he said to his disciples, it is what class? Uh-oh, we're going to act like that didn't happen. It's a lot of them here, I promise, all right? Then in Luke 17 and 1, then he said unto his disciples, it is what class? I told you they were here. It is impossible that no offenses should come. So Jesus says, unfortunately, offenses are going to happen. But watch what he says. But woe, like I said when I first met Lady, all right? I know it's not the same woe, praise the Lord, all right? All right? So we were driving home the other day, and I said, whoa. And I said, just like I said, Lady. And I think I'm not sure if she blamed it on Zanny or somebody. And she's like, you know, Zanny said it's not the same woe. I said, it don't matter, because every time I see you, I say, whoa, amen? And so, praise the Lord, all right? I was gone last week, and as soon as the service was out on Sunday, I hit the road, and I didn't fly. I actually drove, I drove to New Jersey, and then Monday I woke up and finished the drive to Rhode Island. They had sent Jay to a leadership course last minute, so I went and spent some time with him. And so I got to spend several days with him, and then I woke up the other morning, 4 a.m. in the morning, and drove 14 hours all the way back, amen? And so, but I'm a driver. I can do that kind of stuff, you understand? And I listened to the word the entire time. You got it. I listened to teaching this. So I'm ready to go. I'm on fire. I'm full of the word. And I was missing Lady. Praise the Lord. All right. You got it. And so I've been back 2 days. I ain't let her out my sight the whole time. Praise the Lord. I said, whoa. All right. So he says, but woe to him through whom they do come. So watch what happens, class. Jesus says it is impossible that no offenses should come. He says, but woe to him through whom they do. So you have to be careful not going around trying to offend people, because Jesus said you need to stop and wait a minute about that. How many know we need to be careful in life? How many know we need to be careful what we say, how we treat others, what we post on social media? Is that right? Don't look for me, because I took all my apps off. I probably won't be back till January, praise the Lord, all right? To way too much for pastor. All right, so Ephesians 26 is going to teach us. Now, although offenses will come, let me give you the backdrop before I give you the scripture. Although Jesus did tell us offenses will come in life, how many know that we don't have to bow down to them and allow our emotions to get out of check? right? Ephesians 4 and 26 says, be angry, but do not what? Yeah, so you can even get upset about something, he said, you know, but don't let that, go into the realm of sinning. He says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. How many know we should never go to bed angry? Right? We should never go to bed angry, period. But if you're married, like, you know, if you have a little spitz, bad, a little argument, well, okay, that's fine. Those things happen, but get it right before you go to bed. I got three amens, praise the Lord. It's not the order of God that my soul or, you know, goes to bed mad and upset and angry and those kind of things. And I think it takes the husband and the wife together working to make sure we both, you know, ladies, if it was his fault, okay, just forgive him and just come on. Let's get ourselves together. You got it? Husbands, if it was her fault, okay, no problem. We're going to get ourselves together. We said for better or for worse. Come on, we end this thing together. So we're not going to go to bed angry because the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You got it? I saw this meme a long time ago. It just kind of popped up and it said, me and my wife made a commitment that we're never going to go to bed angry. So we've been up for 72 hours. Now, that's not the will of God. Because now you're going to really be mad because you're tired. Can I get up? He says, so don't go to bed angry. But verse 27 says, nor give place to the devil, right? Don't allow the devil to have a foothold. And that's why we close those doors, you know, in our lives, whether it's, you know, me and my spouse closing that door so the devil can't get in, right? Because if I get upset, now we're not talking to each other. The door's open. Now, because there's no communication. You got it? You got it. When we walk by, normally when you walk by, you know, y'all touch each other. Now we ain't touching each other. The door is open. You understand? So you got to keep the door closed. Don't give place to the devil. So today I want to share with you 3 points that I believe will help you on your journey to emotional freedom, to understand emotions and how to manage them properly. All right? So we're going to jump right into it. Everybody with a strong voice say number one. Number one, you must realize that emotions are God-given, but they must be managed. So we're not knocking emotions because emotions are real. Sometimes emotions are even valid, but just because it's in a valid emotion doesn't mean I respond the wrong way. Right? So emotions are not sinful in themselves. How do we know that? Because Jesus had emotion. You got it. In John 11, does it not say that Jesus wept? Right? In Matthew 9, it says that Jesus was moved with compassion. Right? So we see Jesus having different emotions. In Mark 11, Jesus gets upset because they're in the temple in the house of God doing some unruly things with the money changers. He flips the tables over. You got it? And so we see that Jesus, now I don't suggest you go around flipping things, you got it, praise the Lord, all right, but they were doing that in the house of God. And so it's not a sin to get emotional, but what I have to learn is how to manage my emotions and how to keep my emotions in check. So why, Pastor? Why? I'm so glad, I was hoping somebody would say that. Well, the danger is when emotions rule us, the danger is if we allow ourselves, emotions will rule us instead of the Spirit of God ruling us. And we should never allow emotions to rule us. We should always allow the Spirit of God to rule us, because when emotions rule us, I say things I shouldn't say. I act ways I shouldn't act. I do things I shouldn't do, so I can't allow my emotions. And guess what? Everyone in the room, including me, has allowed their emotions to take charge at some point, and we've done or said something we shouldn't have said. Can I get a... That's everybody in the room. So I'm not knocking that, but the whole thing about teaching is we get revelation. And when I know better, I begin to do better, right? And so that's the thing. You know, Cain is an example of being ruled out of his emotions. And I want to read Genesis, the 4th chapter and the 3rd verse, because I talked about being Spirit-led a minute ago. And I want you to understand that because you've given your life to Jesus, the Spirit of God already dwells on the inside of you, right? And he leads you and he guides you and he helps you. But if you'll let him, he'll also correct you. And we have to be open to correction from the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so Genesis, the 4th chapter and the 3rd verse, it says, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Now, he didn't bring the first. We already know the whole thing. Cain didn't bring the first. Abel brought the first. God honored Abel's, you know, a gift, but he didn't honor Cain's gift. All Cain had to do was just do what he was supposed to do, right? Verse 4, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of the flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. Watch this. Help me out, class. So Cain was what, class? He was what? So my man wasn't just angry. You got it. You got it. He was very angry. He wasn't just mad. He was big mad. You got it. And if he put a cape on, he'd be super mad. You understand what I'm saying? Like, he, yeah. And so the Bible says he was very angry. But you got to be careful. You got to be careful about this. And his, watch this. So he got so mad that you saw it on his face. You got it. Sometimes something can bother you, but you have enough management of your emotions that something's bothering, but you'll never even know, right? You know, and verse 6 says, then the Lord said to Cain, watch this, why are you
angry?
Why is your face?
Angry.
Why are you looking like you looking? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Cain, if you'd have just brought the first, it wasn't like, you know, Abel's more special than you. You just got to do what the word says do, right? And so he says, but if you do not what is right, watch this, class. This is the part where the Holy Spirit begins to lead him because he's in emotions. He says, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must do what? Rule over it. So what happens is things happen and we can get caught up in our emotions and, you know, life be life in some time, right? And that's why I'm not knocking you having an emotion of being upset or being mad, because sometimes that's natural. But when you realize that's what's going on, you need the Holy Spirit to help you manage that so you don't make some wrong decisions, because he told him sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you got to have rule over it. Verse 8. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go where, class? Out to the field. While they were in the field, what did Cain do? He attacked his brother Abel and killed him. All because he allowed his emotion. Let me ask you something. Did Abel do anything to Cain? Abel didn't do anything to Cain, right? But what happened was, you know, Abel brought his offering. The Lord had favor on him. Cain didn't bring his. And watch this. Instead of Cain being upset with himself, you got it, you know, or at least be upset with God, Abel didn't do anything to you, right? All right. So Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Cain let jealousy and anger overtake him, and he ended up murdering his brother. See, God warned him in advance to manage his emotions. He told him, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. You must rule over it. And what we learn from this story of Cain and Abel is if we don't manage our emotions will manage us. If we don't control our emotions are going to control us. You got it? And when you get into your emotions, you can end up doing crazy things. All right. So number one, we said emotions are God-given and they must be managed. All right. Everybody said number two. Were y'all getting anything out of this? All right. Number two, you must guard your heart against offense. You must guard your heart. Now, Jesus just told us offense is going to happen. Right. So just realize that's part of life. You got it. You know, you could be somewhere. You know, there's times in my life I was somewhere, grocery store, football game, whatever. I ain't bothering nobody. And then somebody say something kind of off to me. I'm sure this happened to you at some point in your life. And if you're not careful, you're like, well, dog, where'd that come from? You know, and you know, I'm older now, praise the Lord, and so I know how to manage my emotions. You got it. But when, you know, when me and Lady was, you know, first getting married when I was 20, 21 years old, people said that I almost was like, who you think you're talking to? Like, you don't know me like that. I got something in the car. Hold on, let's go to the car and find out. But see, that ain't managing my emotions. Right? Right? Some of y'all are like, I feel you, Pastor. But see, we can't go down that route. See, I was a son of God back then, learning to be led by the Spirit. Now, because I'm mature in Christ, I realize that you know, I don't match energy for energy. Does that make sense? I'm kingdom, you understand? And in the kingdom of God, I don't need to match anything with anything, you know. So if you go crazy, I just look at you and say, well, my, and then I'm going to go on my way, right? Because I got too much at stake that I need God to do in my life, in my marriage, with my children, in my business. You got it? For me to be, watch this, you know, falling out with people. Because falling out with people affects how you see God. The writer says in Hebrews, follow peace with all men and holiness, for without no man shall see the Lord. It is the peaceful attitude that gives you a clear picture of who God is and what he's trying to do in your life. Falling out with people affects how you see God. So for no other reason than just to have a clear picture of who God is and what he's doing in your life, and to make sure he is the loudest voice in your life, when people act crazy, just leave them alone. Leave them alone. You scrolling, having a good time. You on your 15-minute lunch break. It's been a good day. And then you hop on social media because you want to see, you know, what's going on with your people, right? And everything's good till you see that one post. Everybody say, keep scrolling. Just keep scrolling. You got, and you'll keep scrolling. And then you're like, no, let me go back and see. No. Sin is crouching at the door. And you got to have rule over it. You got it? And if you're at a point where you can't do that, man, just take all that stuff off. You got it? And just leave it alone for a while in Jesus' name. All right? Praise the Lord. All right? So you have to guard your heart against offense. Offense is one of the enemy's sharpest tools to derail relationships and keep us from God's purpose. That, you know, the enemy will try to get in, whether it's a husband and a wife, whether it's friends, whether it's a business relationship, you know, and you know, if things are going good and God's favor is there, the enemy wants to show up and derail that thing. And so he will try to allow offense to come in to make y'all get mad. Now, y'all been in business for 16 years together. Everything's doing good. And over one afternoon, now y'all don't want to be partners no more. That's the devil. Does that make sense? Proverbs 18 and 19 says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a castle. Now, that's strong. And that is why you really don't want, that's why you have to choose not to be offended the moment offense tries to take place. Does that make sense? All right. Jesus warns us in Matthew, the 24th chapter and the 10th verse. He says, and then many will be offended. He said, they'll betray one another and they'll even hate one another. But how many know we not doing that stuff? You got it. We're in the world, but we are not of the world. We are in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, we don't do foolishness. What did Pastor say? Thank you. In the kingdom of God, we don't do foolishness. In the kingdom of God, we don't backbite. In the kingdom of God, we don't run folk down. In the kingdom of God, we don't have cliques. Come on, somebody. In the kingdom of God, we don't cuss folk out at the Piggly Wiggly. Isn't that right? Yeah, why are you laughing? Right now, I'm just playing. All right. You know, and so I'm praying about this thing. And in one moment, I said, you know what? Who really helps us to understand the power of overcoming offense so God can elevate you? Joseph. Joseph had every right to be offended. Joseph didn't do anything wrong. His brothers were jealous of him because his daddy loved him. You understand? It's not Joseph. Well, maybe his daddy could have managed. I ain't talking about that right now. All I know is Joseph didn't do anything wrong to his brothers. And watch this. He had every right to be offended because his brothers threw him in a pit and sold him. And then when you keep going, Joseph could have gotten offended at Potiphar's wife. Remember, she lied on him, right? And said, you know, he tried to do this to me and do that to me. He ends up getting thrown in jail. And then, watch this, Joseph now, well, I'm just fast-forwarding through the whole story. It's a wonderful story. You should go and read it sometime. And so then what happens is Joseph gets with the cupbearer. The cupbearer, you know, some bad things happen, and Joseph begins to give him this dream and interpret this dream and tell him, hey, you're actually going to be fully restored. The cupbearer says, I'm going to remember you as soon as I get out. The cupbearer gets out and doesn't remember Joseph. And in every situation, Joseph didn't do anything wrong. He actually did things right, and he could have got offended in every one of those, but he understood that offense was a choice. Everybody say, offense is a choice. He chose not to be offended, and he was patient. It was about what the Bible says about 2 years after, you know, here comes the cupbearer again, because now he needs Joseph to interpret another dream, and thank God everything worked out. Joseph becomes, you know, second in charge, right? In Genesis, the 50th chapter, when there was a famine in the land, here comes, you know, Joseph's brothers, because they need, you know, they need some food, right? They are in line, and they're like, that dude, you know, because Joseph was in all his royalty and everything, you wouldn't have known who he was. And his brother's like, man, that looks like Joseph. And then all of a sudden they get scared, you know, because they're like, man, he's going to throw us in jail, right? And in Genesis 50 and 20, he says, but as for you, talking to his brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. Joseph, watch this, overcame offense in his life at least three times, and we saw how God elevated him, and he impacted so many people's lives in an amazing way, all because he managed his emotions and didn't get out of character. Does that make sense? And so you have to learn how to make sure that you are managing. You know, he kept his emotions intact, and God used him mightily. So Joseph teaches us that offense is inevitable, but living in offense is optional. You know, Jesus said it's going to come. It's inevitable. But for me to live in offense, everybody says it's optional. So I can choose to be offended, or I can choose to walk in love. I can choose to be offended, or I can walk in love. I can choose to be offended, or I could. But it ain't right what they did. I feel you. You got it. But just because I choose to forgive somebody doesn't mean what they did wasn't right. It just means that I have made a decision to overlook and not cause any penalty, because I got to make sure that I free my heart, because God's got so much ahead of me and I can't have my heart all tangled up. Right? Yep. You know, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to let my heart get tangled up. I'm going to love. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to keep walking. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to keep doing those things, because that's God's way for my life. You got it. Yeah. Last week, I've never been in my 18 years of ministry as transparent as I was at the end of my lesson last week. And and the Holy Spirit prompted me to go that way, so I knew it was okay, you know, but I didn't know how much it was going to bother some of y'all. And sometimes bothering somebody is not a bad thing, it's a good thing. Does that make sense? Boy, I got so many texts and calls and everything, you know, because, Pastor, are you all? I said, oh, no, yeah, I was okay. I said, I was really not ever planning on going that route, but it just kind of went that route. I got a little emotional. I got a little choked up. You got it? But watch this. Even though you saw Pastor get choked up, and this was a really good thing, because for a moment, I felt all the weight of everything I do, but did I get mad? Did I cuss anybody out? Did I say, man, people make me sick? Did I do any of that? No. So what did I do? I handled my emotions the right way. You got it? And so it doesn't mean that we won't get emotional in life. It just means that we have to manage them properly so we can continue to walk in love. That's a good place to clap right there. Because my whole deal is this. I'm always going to love you. When I say you, I mean the whole world, you know, everybody, people, right? Yeah, he got the whole world. He got the whole wide world. He got the whole world. He got the whole world. Yeah, so everybody, right? You got people that don't look like me, people don't act like me, people that don't vote like me. I'm loving everybody. Why? Because God commands me to. So even though you might say something I don't like, it don't matter, because 1 Corinthians 13 and 4 says love is patient. You could be mean to me. It's okay, because love is kind. You can talk about me. I got this. It's okay, because love doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. And I wish that this world would learn that love doesn't dishonor others. You got it. You can just agree to disagree with people without dishonoring others. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. It love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with truth. It protects. It protects. Always trusts. Always hopes. Always preserves. And the first three words of verse 8 says, "Love never fails." So if you do it the way of love, you'll always show up the right place at the right time. Does that make sense? All right. So let's go over our points. So y'all getting anything out of this? All right. Point number. Now I got a minute and 30 seconds left. I'm gonna just tell y'all I'm gonna need about 5 more minutes. Is everybody okay with me to have 5 more minutes? How many people give me 5 more minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Now I'm just playing. All right. All right. All right. Okay. So just put that in the back on the clock so I'll know where I'm at on my iPad. It's 12:06. It's early. Yeah, we still gonna get out right around the same time we do. Praise the Lord. All right. So number one, emotions are God-given but must be managed. Number two, you must guard your heart against offense. You have to choose not to be offended and walk in love, all right? And Pastor's giving you this. It's not something that I'm trying to figure out, and I'm not saying I'm the best at everything, but I figured this thing out. You understand what I'm saying? There's no way that there can be a grace on my life if I'm not walking in love. Does that make sense? You got to do the same thing. And what happens is, it's hard sometimes for you to get over your emotions because your emotions are mad about what happened. And I get it, and it doesn't make it right, and they shouldn't have said that to you and all that kind of stuff. But more is at stake than you being mad with that person and falling out with them. Does that make sense? All right, here we go. Number three, I'm going to give you practical keys to managing emotions and overcoming offense. Practical keys to managing emotions and overcoming offense. There's 5 things I'm going to give to you, and then we'll get out of here. All right, everybody say number one. Acknowledge honestly before God. If you are having a real emotional time, that's okay. But don't go to social media. Don't go talking to your friend because you hope they're going to co-sign with you and talk about the other person. Go to God. Talk to God. Everybody say talk to God. Yeah, Psalms 42:5, David is praying, but then he gets emotional, and then he starts talking to himself. So why are you downcast? Why are you disturbed? And then thank God he had the word of him. He said, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God, right? Psalms 34:6, he says, this poor man cried, and the Lord did what? The Lord did what? The Lord heard him and did what? Saved him out of all of his troubles. So he went to God. So I need to acknowledge honestly before God. So anytime I go to God, first thing I got to do is I enter into his gates with thanksgiving, enter into his courts with praise, right? And so I'm going to do that, you know, and that kind of thing. And before you start praying the prayer petition or the prayer binding and loosing whatever prayer of intercession for somebody, whatever it is, you do that first. But then there's some times when you're just going to go to God because you want to talk to God about what's going on in your life. And it's okay to be open, to be real, and to be raw with God because he can handle it. Does that make sense? Sometimes people can't handle it, and that's okay. We're not knocking them. If they can't handle it, they can't handle it. But God can always handle what you're going through. And so I'm here to tell you, God is the best person to talk to about things that happen in your life when you're extremely emotional. Because let me just tell you, your friend can't fix it. Social media can't fix it. But God can fix it. Does that make sense? Amen. So number one, acknowledge honesty before God. Everybody say number two. Surrender emotions to the Spirit of God. Surrender emotions to the Spirit of God. Do you know that the fruit of the Spirit includes self-control? Right? And so, you know, you know why people like to go off on people? Any idea? Because it feels good. You got it. You know, it feels good. I talked to a member one time. He was honest with me. He called me, and, you know, he cussed his coworker out. You understand? And, you know, Christians don't need to be cussing. Praise the Lord. You got it. Does that say it in the Bible? It does in several places. Amen. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Right? And so, you know, but he's telling, I know I was wrong, but it felt good. I cussed him. I was tired of him. This is what he told me. He said, I wore him out. I said, the only problem now is you got a bad witness going on. Yeah, you've been trying to invite him to Without Limits with your cussing self. And so now what you got to do is you got to do what you should have done in the beginning. You got to go surrender to God. But had you surrendered on the front end, you wouldn't have had to deal with that. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. What's that next one? Self-control. All right? And against such there is no law. Sometimes you'll hear me say that I don't fight with people. Like, I don't do that. Like, I really don't. People want to go back and forth. I ain't that guy. You understand? You know, I'm just not going to do that. In the early days, people would go on, you know, under my wall, and I had to start having my staff keep an eye on it so they could just delete that stuff. People want to come against me for it. I'm like, bro, I ain't cut from that cloth, right? Like, if you think me and you about to go round for round on social media, you done got the wrong guy, you understand? You know, well, that's your problem, because you're not bold. No, I'm bold, I just ain't crazy. I want to say stupid, but I ain't going to use that kind of word, you understand? And so, no. So what happens is, what happens is, you got it, I walk in something called meekness. Everybody say meekness. And when people walk in meekness, if you're not careful, you will think meekness is weakness. But meekness is actually not weakness. It is strength under control. That I have strength. You got it? And yet, and Pastor, don't cuss. Okay, let me just put that out there right now. Pastor never cusses, right? You know, but I have strength. Like, I probably couldn't cuss you out because I don't know how to. But I could fuss you out if I wanted to. But I'm not going to do that because meekness is not weakness. It is strength under control. And so even though I might feel on the inside upset and anger and those kind of things, I've surrendered myself to the Spirit of God. And so even though, watch this, my head might want to do it, my heart says no. Oh, that's good right there. You got it. Head got everything to do with the soulish realm. Heart every got everything to do with the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? All right, let's keep going because I want to get you out of here. All right, number three, choose forgiveness how often?
Daily.
Choose forgiveness every day. Colossians 3 and 13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord did what? Okay. Is there anybody besides me in the room so glad that God has forgiven you for all your sins? Is there anybody besides me in the room hope that God don't ever bring up the stuff you did in your past because you don't want nobody to know about it? Can I get an amen? Right? Right. So I submit to you that we don't forgive so we can be forgiven. We forgive because God is already protected you, covered you, hidden you, forgave you. So I will gladly forgive you and your little foolishness. Watch this, because God has forgiven me a great deal. Praise the Lord. That's good right there. All right. Acknowledge honestly before God. Surrender emotion to the Spirit. Choose forgiveness daily. Number four, remember the bigger picture. Remember the bigger picture. Romans 8 and 28 teaches us that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Remember, things may take us by surprise, but they don't take God by surprise. So God already knows what he's going to do in our lives and in our situation, so we must fully trust him. We must do what? Fully trusting him means even though you came from me, watch this, I'm going to trust him. I'm not going to clap back. Even though you came for me, and it could be easy for me to come back for you and embarrass you and even cause some problem. You know, people do all kind of crazy stuff. They'll call your job. You understand what I'm saying? Talk to your boss, lie on you, all kind. I mean, people, you know, you just, you know, praise the Lord. But no, I'm that's why I'm not going to get caught up in offense and emotions, because when I get caught up in emotion, we go tit for tat and tit for tat and tit for tat, and then bad things happen. And then my last one, let's go home on this one, Maestro, respond, but don't react. Everybody say respond. Don't react. One more time, respond. Don't react. Proverbs 15 and 1, a soft answer does what, Clad? Yeah, soft answer turns away wrath. Now, if you say something to me, right? Sometimes my catchphrase, now this is good, just I got a lot of catchphrases, got it? That's one of my catchphrases, right? But in another one of my catchphrases, no problem. Like if I say no problem, I really mean it. Like you ain't got to wonder, if I say no problem, I really mean no problem, right? You know, and I use that for, hey, you know, can I do, oh yeah, no problem. Or I'm sorry about that, oh no problem, you know. But sometimes if people are sarcastic with me, I tell them, no problem, you got it. Why? Because I have to make sure that I respond and don't react. So a soft answer, no problem, turns away wrath. What if I didn't say no problem? And what if I said some other things that aren't nice? That don't turn away wrath. So a soft answer turn away wrath, but a harsh word, but a harsh word does what, class? Stirs up anger. So when I react, it's out of remote emotions and I end up making the situation worse. But when I respond, I'm surrendering to the Holy Spirit and He's guiding me through a difficult moment so I won't lose my witness, so He can get the glory in my life. And so we have the power to manage our emotions. I think it's amazing because we used to tell people, like Lady and I, we don't fight. Like, we literally don't fight. And a member came one time and her she had brought her mother with her. And everybody say years ago. This is years ago. And and her mother was, you know, much older. You know, her mom probably was in her 80s. You know, so she lived a long time, you understand? Got some wisdom, too. You got it? And so she said, "Mom, these are my pastors." She said, "Mom, my pastors, they never fight." And she looked at her daughter and said, "Girl, don't believe that." Because we're so used to living by emotions instead of living by the Spirit. If we're not careful, we don't think it's possible to live by the Spirit. Yeah, does that make sense? And so, no, like we, Lady and I, like we never fight. We really don't. You understand? Do we agree on everything? Absolutely not. Not fighting and agreeing on everything, two different things. You got it? There's times where she thinks it's one way and I think it's another way, but we just agree to disagree. You got it. I ain't fighting. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. I mean, if I'm right, I'm right. I ain't gonna fight about it. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. Oh, love Lady. Baby, everybody looked over at you too. Oh, God. All right. So, but I've made up my mind that I'm gonna do it God's way so I can get God results in my life. Heads about, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for the harvest and that none of the harvest is lost in Jesus' name. And while heads about and eyes are closed and believers are praying all over the building, I want you to really ask the Holy Spirit, like, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? And I believe that He can help you. I believe He wants to help you. But I think the only way for God really to help you is there's one big word that I'm going to use right now, and it's called surrender. And the question is, when are you going to make up your mind that you are going to surrender to God? Because when you're not surrendered, you go round and round. Around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows. You're up, then you're down. You're happy, then you're sad. You're this, then you're that. But the moment you finally make it up in your mind that I'm going to surrender to Christ, I'm going to submit my will to His will, then you are on your road to living an amazing life. And I'm not saying it might not be bumpy the first few weeks and even the first few months as you really start learning, you know, to cultivate your relationship with God. Or maybe you're in the room and you're just, or online, and you're just getting back on track. But I just want you to know it's possible to get where you need to be with God. Maybe you're in the room or online and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10 and 9 that if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that just means that you have to believe that God sent His only Son Jesus to die for you and that you need Him in your life to the degree that you're willing to repent of your sins. That word repent is a change of mind, but it doesn't stop there. It's also a change of direction. So in the Greek, when you go and look at that word, it's a change of mind and it's a change of direction. That when I come to the knowledge of the love of Jesus for me and everything that He's done for me, the first thing I do is I change my mind, and then right behind that, I change my direction. That old things are passed away and all things become new because I'm now a new creation in Christ. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. If you're in the room or online, if that's you, I want you to know God's not mad at you. God's not upset with you. God's not angry with you. But He's counting on you to surrender yourself right here and right now to get it straight with Him so He can make the rest of your life the best of your life. Maybe you're in the room or online and you're a Christian and you love Jesus. And truth be told, if you pass away right now, you go to heaven. But maybe there's some things in your heart you just need to get right. And let me just help you. That's all of us at different times. We just need to check ourselves and make sure that we're right. See, repentance doesn't put you at the back of the line. It just puts you back in line. 1 John 1:9 was actually written to the believer. And it says, if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so if you fall under any of those categories, you're not saved, you need to be. You need to rededicate your life. You're a Christian that needs to repent. I want you to pray this prayer with me. But I'm going to go a little bit further. If you don't feel like you fall under any of those, I'm still going to ask you to pray this prayer because this is a prayer that will just help you. And so in the room and online, I want you to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. Tell him you have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, I thank you for what you've done today in the hearts of the people. And this is one thing as I was praying. It's not a point, but it's almost like a point that the Holy Spirit just gave me. He says, now that you have received the word on how to manage your emotions, those things that have you've been holding on to, those things that maybe have offended you, those things that have hurt you, I just hear the Lord saying, as of today, you got to let it go. You got to let it go. No more pondering on it. No more getting angry over. Just let it go. Forgive and let it go. And watch how God is going to do amazing things in your life. I thank you for it. I give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise?